Hey everybody, what if your inner voice wasn't just a whisper, but a confident guide that leads you toward clarity and peace? And what if meditation is one of the ways that you can access that guide and make that tiny voice just a little bit stronger? Well, today we have somebody extraordinary to guide us further down this path of self-discovery and inner wisdom. I'm pleased to welcome Tanya Ho, a luminary in the world of meditation and intuition. Tanya is the founder and owner of Muse Flower Retreat and Spa, a sanctuary that's nestled in the serene landscape of, ladies and gentlemen, my very first international guest, Chiang Rai, Thailand. Whether it's through oracle card readings, labyrinth walks, or soulful retreats, Tanya's mission is to help you unlock the door to your inner sanctuary. She's not just a meditation teacher. She's a bridge to a more intuitive you. She's also a multitasking marvel, a mom of two boys, and a thriving business owner, proving that it's entirely possible to integrate spirituality into the daily, everyday chaos that is life. So if you've ever wondered how to tap into your own inner guide and how to integrate mindfulness into your daily routine, you're in for an enlightening conversation and an amazing time with a Tanya Ho. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, hi everybody. I'm Michael Che, and this is A Funny Way of Looking, where diverse voices meet open minds. We're live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on afunnywayoflooking.com and everywhere your favorite podcast is aired if you want to listen. I'd like to just introduce you to Tanya. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you, Michael. Thank you for inviting me and letting me be here. Thank you.
I am excited about this whole thing because I will say for my life, I've been trying to learn meditation and going in and out of it. So I'm ready to listen to you. Before we get started, I want to ask you, who do you want to do a shout out to?
Shouting out to my family and friends in Hong Kong and also in Thailand as well.
Awesome. Love that. What do we want to start with? I want to ask you a question. Intuition is one of the things that I mentioned in the introduction. To you, what does intuition mean?
So intuition to me, it's like that sixth sense, you know, we have, or that inner compass that is inside us. It's like an inner GPS. And, you know, through our intuition, we kind of like know which direction or, you know, that is most aligned with us. Mm-hmm. So that is, yeah, what I feel about intuition. It's really kind of wisdom from the heart, I would say.
Yeah. How did you like discover your intuition and start paying attention to it?
Oh, wow. So it was actually, I never really think about intuition. I think because at school, you know, we don't learn about intuition. We learn about logical thinking. We learn about, you know, you use analytical thinking to do your pros and cons. And it was really when I graduated from school, like I have a couple job offers. Two of them was in the States and then one was in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to do like the list of pros and cons, like the one in Thailand is probably like the with the most cons. But then there was just this feeling, it was very hard to describe, just feeling like I feel like I want to go to you know, take the job offer in Thailand. And so that's what I did. And just kind of really opened the doors for me, you know, and, you know, and me being here now in Thailand, because I'm not from Thailand originally. So yeah, it's kind of like I felt like that was one of the point of like, oh, I listen to my intuition, even though it was a feeling that I couldn't describe. I didn't know it was my intuition that time. And then it kind of really, this path kind of really unfolded.
So what like with your intuition, why is it essential, I guess, that people trust their intuition? I guess some people sometimes call it gut feeling. Is that the same thing or is that different?
Well, I feel it's the same thing.
Okay.
Gut feeling and intuition is the same thing. Instinct, some people call it instinct too. Instinct for me sometimes may be like a little bit different. I actually read it somewhere because instinct a little bit more is, you know, when you're danger around, then your instinct comes through. So it's kind of more driven by fear. Whereas your intuition is more coming from a space of love. So it's just a little bit different in that sense, I feel.
Okay. So here's one of the things I've always wondered about intuition. And that's like, how do you know, like maybe you're driving down the street and you think, maybe should I go left or should I go right? I normally go left, but something just tells me that maybe the traffic's blocked down there or something. And you go like, oh, you know what? I'm going to turn left anyway. I'm just going to do it. And you get down there and the traffic is blocked or it isn't blocked. But how do you know that the other path, turning right, wouldn't have been the correct way to go also?
Well, I always feel like it's not like when we listen to intuition, that means you're going to be right all the time. So that's going to be a common misconception. But I feel like when we follow our intuition, that is where we can, you know, like if you believe we have a soul, our soul wants to grow and evolve. And that's the direction, you know, that our souls bring us, is through our intuition. That's how our soul speaks to us. So doesn't mean the other path is the wrong path. I feel like it's more like there are multiple paths to go to where you need to go to. Maybe some are more smooth, you know, like some are like it's kind of shorter, take like shorter time. Some might take is more like a detour, but you'll still get there kind of thing.
Okay. So how do you know? Okay. Let's talk about that's intuition. Let's talk about how does intuition play into meditation or vice versa? What is the connection there?
Yes, I did. So, well, you know, meditation is, oh, let's backtrack a little bit. Intuition, some people call it like the inner voice, like you said in the intro. And it is really kind of like, it is really like a whisper. So a lot of times when we don't really pay attention to it, it's kind of hard to hear that tiny whisper. And so the practice of meditation can really help us, because when we are meditating, we are learning to listen and we're learning to observe. And so, you know, it's a skill. Meditation is just like any other skills, just like cooking, just like cleaning, you know, it's a skill. So the more you do it, the better you get it. And then the more easier it is to pay attention to, okay, I'm, you know, I can, you know, there's this, like that feeling, like you said, it can like gut feeling. For some people, it's gut feeling. For some people, intuition comes different ways. So like, you know, if you think about our five senses, you know, like intuition can come through any of those five senses or six senses, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And are we like explain the intuition? Like some people say they hear a voice or it's a feeling or
That's right.
What is it?
It is different for everybody, because our intuition does speak to each individual in a different way, depending on what is your dominant sense. You can think of that more like what is our learning style. So everybody have a different learning style or orientation style. For example, some people more like a visual learner. Some people is more like an auditory learner. Some people are like me. They like to speak with their hands, or they're more like tactile. So depending on what your dominant sense is, your intuition will speak to you in like through that dominant sense. So for some people actually who are really visual, they might get, you know, like images that pop up in their head suddenly. For me, for example, I'm more like a feeling person. So for me, it's just kind of like a deep knowing that I cannot explain. For some people, they can actually feel it on their body. So that's the gut feeling. They can actually feel like a sensation, but that it's not coming from them. And then for some people who is like auditory, you know, like they hear voices, not like, you know, not like in a schizophrenia way, but you know, like they would hear like a voice, like an inner voice, like really the sound or like word guiding them.
So when you're teaching people, let's say, about intuition, how are you training them to hear that inner feeling or voice or sound or touch? How are you doing that?
So we do have a workshop here, but it's not really training. It's just remembering. And I think a lot of people actually use their intuition a lot, but they don't realize they do. So the first thing we actually figure out is what is your dominant sense. Okay. And from that, you know, start to figure out or with some games, you know, with practice, to see how your intuition speaks to you, because I think that's the one main thing. Once we know, okay, that is my intuition speaks to, or that is how my intuition, you know, kind of like gets, you know, that's how I get my intuition. And then it's just really practice, and you slowly build your confidence. Then you know, okay, you start to know, like, to distinguish the difference between this is my intuition speaking to me rather than this is just my mind, like a thought that I have, or like this is my mind, or you can say ego telling me what to do.
Is there a difference between intuition and, say, psychic ability, or are they the same thing?
So they are a little bit, I would say, like, they are similar in my understanding. So, for example, one of the ways our intuition can come through is through our images. So the word for it is, the sense is called, you know, clairvoyant. So clairvoyant can also mean psychic. So for some people, there's, and you know, there's images or impressions. And for those who are really gifted in their, you know, clairvoyant sense, those are psychics. You know, they can really see a lot. And then, you know, through the intuition, intuitions for me is kind of like a gateway. That's where their spirit guides talk to them, or like the universe talk to them. That's where they get the guidance from. So this is maybe a little similar, but psychics are like super gifted in their visual sense of picking up intuition.
So do me a favor, describe like your meditation practice and how you build up your intuition, and maybe your people who come to your retreat. What kind of meditation do you do? There's like all kinds, and which one do you do and practice with your people?
Yes, well, we offer all kinds of meditations because, very similar to what I talk about, everybody have a different learning style. Meditation, you know, it's the same. And so just before I describe my practice, I just want to say, like, so this is the practice that works for me. It may not work for other people. So that's why here in Musefile, we offer, you know, we have the mindfulness meditation, but we also have like dynamic meditation. For example, it's like kind of more movement type of meditation. Labyrinth walk is a great way to meditate that you're not just sitting around. So we have like some meditation classes. You're not just only like sitting for the whole class. You know, there are other ways that you can do, you know, you can do mandala art, for example, as part of meditation too. So from my own practice, I actually use mantra and mudra. So mantra is a, you can say it's called tool of the mind, or it is a sacred sound formula. So you say a mantra. So it's not an English word mantra where, you know, we always, mantra kind of become an English word now where we say like, I'm strong, I'm calm, it's the mantra. So those are actually more affirmations. So mantra traditionally is for, you know, really, languages they call like sacred languages, for example, like Sanskrit, for example. So mantra, you say a mantra, you repeat a mantra. So that's what I do. I repeat a mantra for 108 times. It's part of my practice. And then after that, I will just sit in silence for a bit, holding a mudra. So mudra, it means hand, it actually means seal locks, or you can think about hand gestures. So you might have seen meditation pictures, you know, when people like holding their hands like that, what they're doing. So these are like mudras or a different one in yoga. So I would also hold a mudra as well.
Okay. So you also sometimes, I think, talk about like the five senses with meditation.
That's right, yeah.
Explain that.
Well, so that is basically our sense, each of our senses, just a gateway to help us to get into that inner stillness within. So even with meditation, when you, well, the people traditionally who understand meditation, or me when I started, was like breathing, right? Counting your breath. So yes. Why are we doing that? Because the breath is kind of just that gateway. You're engaging your, you can say, sense of smell, even though you're not smelling anything, just using your breath. But that is one way, that's a gateway to help you to kind of really get into that inner stillness within. Now, it's difficult for a lot of people, and it's difficult for, like me, it was very difficult. And to just to focus and to count a breath and just to concentrate. So at that time, you know, when I tried that, I was like, oh, I'm not good at it. And I like, just, that's not for me. And I felt a lot of that, like that kind of turned people away from meditation, whereas actually there's so many different types of meditation, like visualization type of meditation. And those are really good for people who are really good with, you know, with their imagination, who love to visualize. And then, you know, that's tapping into your sense of sight. For sound, for example, that's a mantra for myself, using, you know, when you're saying out the mantra out loud. So, you know, it helps you to focus. It becomes like an anchor for the mind. So there's a sound. So there is touch, touch is mudra that I talk about this one way, or, you know, any kind of movement type of meditation. So labyrinth walk, when you're going out, you know, you're moving your whole body. It's a whole body type of meditation. Even just when people go on a walk in nature, you know, and they just go for a really mindful walk, mm-hmm. that could be counted as a meditation too. Yeah.
And so you're clearing your mind so that you can do what?
You're being really present. And you're just in the present moment and you're being really aware of all your senses. And maybe sometimes then you can start to pay attention to what's really going on in your inner world. It's not just the thoughts anymore, but sometimes maybe emotions, feelings might come up. Maybe sometimes it's an insight. So, you know, maybe that's where the intuition, you can, you know, hear some guidance. Maybe sometimes just nothing. And that's totally fine too. Like you don't need to be here, just feel good. Feel calm, feel peaceful, and that's perfect too. Sometimes in meditation, actually none of those happen. Like I sit in meditation and my mind is still going everywhere. Oh my God. You know, that is also cool too. Because the point is showing up to the practice. So every day will feel different. It's same as doing yoga. It's same as if you go workout. Some days you feel really good. Some days you feel like crap, but I still go to do my workout, for example. So it's same with meditation too.
And then when you really get into the meditation, how do you feel? Like when you're in it and your intuition's working and everything is spot on, how does it feel to you?
It's just really a sense of being. Like then I understand, oh, like, you know, when people talk about like human beings, we're not human doings. And that's why we need all these things to help us to remind ourselves we're being. And so it's just really a sense of being. A lot of times it's just feeling like really connected, but like there's no thoughts, like there's not really, I'm not thinking of anything. It was just like this feeling I'm in. Yeah, sometimes I feel like kind of almost an expansion feeling too for me, because I, you know, for me, I'm my dominant sense is feeling. So I can sometimes it's almost feel like I'm growing really big, but physically mm-hmm. I'm not. Yeah.
So like now you're a mom and you've got your business and you've got everything going right. on in your life. How do you integrate like this, your intuition into your daily life?
Yeah, that's a really good question. A lot of times when I have to make decisions and, or, you know, think about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to offer. And, you know, a lot of time we spend a lot of, just like everyone else, in the headspace. Mm-hmm. And so when I know like there's a feeling for me, like, so that's for me the feeling. So if it's something that feels right, like it for me, again, it's coming from like the heart energy space, then I know, okay, that is what I'm supposed to do. But if I'm like still in my head, if I'm like thinking between options, what should I do? I can feel it for myself. Like I'm just here, up here in my headspace and just going back and forth. Then I know usually it's time to wait. I have to wait for a bit for mm-hmm. things to unfold, or there's still some things I'm not seeing yet, and just wait. And then until, okay, and then some, then usually it's an options. If I'm thinking between option A and B, usually most of the time it's an option C that comes up, that something gotcha. Unfolds. It's like, oh, okay, yeah.
That's pretty cool. What are some like quick and dirty like techniques that people can use like in their lives every day that can help them tune into their intuition?
Wow, quick one. Well, I would say, going back to say meditation. Meditation is a really good one. I would say journaling has been helping me a lot. So journaling is just, you know, it's just writing down anything that comes on your mind, because it's a way to really connect with your inner voice too. So for me, journaling, even before, I started it when I was in high school, and it was something that was really helping myself. And, you know, that's not, I don't do meditation, anything at that time. So that was just something that is just getting used to listening to your own inner voice and know that when is your true authentic self showing up, or when is, you know, we're doing some things just because we think other people expect us to. Yeah. So there's kind of like that difference. So I feel like journaling is one way to help. There are so many tools out there that can help us tune intuition, like oracle cards you mentioned at the beginning. That's mm-hmm. one thing I do. One thing I love, I do it for myself every day. Just pick a card. I do it with our guests here. They love it too. You know, when we finish the class, usually we'll just pick one card and just see what is the message of the day to see if it resonates with you. And usually it does resonate in some way.
Nice, nice. So we when you have guests there, do you do, I guess, like a collective form of meditation and intuition?
So actually we have like different classes. We have a class schedule and we have like different classes from morning to afternoon. So the guests can choose like what classes they want to do. So we have yoga, meditation, different type of meditation. We also have like workshops, more like intuition workshop, for example, more like a fun one where people can like, learn to practice. Yeah, it's just like using games to practice listening to their intuition.
Is there any technology that you use in your meditation teaching and things like this, or is it more natural? How does the whole class work?
So in the class, the only technology I think is just the music part that we're playing music in the background. I think the most of the like even if we do labyrinth walks or like shamanic journey or the another one I didn't get to mention if it's meditation with taste is actually cacao ceremony. So you're drinking cacao. So yeah, all these is you have to prepare some stuff, but the not really technology. I guess the only technology is music.
So you get
And I
away
can read
from the
songs.
technology and let that just be. You become part of the nature.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
So if you could like just hook up a microphone to everybody in the world, and you're standing on stage and you could say, I want this to be implanted into your brains, what would that thing be? What would it look like?
I think that will be trust your intuition. Trust your intuition. It's not even meditation, not even saying meditation. It's just trust your intuition. Because I really do feel that a lot of us, I do feel, first of all, intuition is here to guide us, to help us to fulfill our purpose here. That goes back to that big question, who am I? What is the meaning of my life? What is my purpose here? Everybody will ask this question at some point in their life, usually, I guess. Why am I here? So to answer that is really to we have to follow our intuition. Our intuition is the gateway where our soul, or you can say the universe, is speaking to us, and then we can understand, okay, this is why I'm here. So really trust your intuition. And then it goes with, yeah, everything, something will resonate with us, something is aligned with us. And when we're here, we talk about being our true authentic self. So our intuition is helping us to guide us to be that the most true and authentic self that we
I
can be
think
here.
that's awesome. You know what? I want to play a little game with you. It's called
Yes.
This or That, and we're going to find out more about Tanya Ho. I'm going to give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. And if you need to just, explain yourself, you can do that too. Because sometimes
Okay, got
maybe they
it.
get hard, maybe they don't. We'll see. Let's start with some easy ones. I'm not even going to give background on this. Mantra or silence?
Mantra.
Okay. What about morning or evening?
Morning.
Indoors or outdoors?
Indoors.
Okay. How do you like your meditation space? Scented or unscented?
Oh, scented.
Oh,
But with
yeah.
natural scent. Yes, scented.
Like, what kind of scents do you use?
So well, actually, I have, like scented candles, but they're made from like natural soy wax. And also light incense. So incense have like incense smell, I guess. But yeah, any smell actually.
Okay. Which meditation setting intensifies your intuitive insights, solo or group?
You mean that when my intuition comes through? Solo. Solo
Solo.
when I'm alone. Yes, because I'm an introvert. That's why I like indoors.
There we go. I'm an introvert also. I stay home and I'll just meditate by myself.
Yes.
Okay. Oracle cards or labyrinth walk?
Oh, oracle cards.
Yeah. Do you
Because
like
you can bring
oracle?
them everywhere. Labyrinth wall, you cannot.
No, you cannot. You're kind of like stuck in that little walk.
And depending on weather, like if it's an outdoor labyrinth, there are indoor labyrinth, and there is actually something called finger labyrinth. I haven't talked about it. It's actually on a piece of paper. You can just trace with your finger, and that is also very, very good. Very, very good tool that I also use for myself. But oracle cards, if you like, just quick and easy. You pick a card, you look at the message. Well, finger labyrinth is actually an exercise. You know, you have to give yourself a like good 25, 30 minutes just to do it.
Oh, I love that idea of having the finger lamp but then just walk through it with your finger.
Yes, with your finger, yes. So you can do it at home also. You don't have to go outside to do it.
You know, here's something we didn't talk about, but I'll throw it out there for you anyway, about spirit guides or spirit animals, power animals.
Oh, I love them both. I'll say spirit animal just because that's what, when I first started, I connected more to animals.
Okay.
Yes.
How about devotional chanting or visual imagery?
Oh, devotional chanting for sure.
Yeah. Does like I've heard also with the mantras that everyone has their own mantra. Is that right? Or how does a mantra happen for somebody?
Oh, so that's like a little bit different practice. So the one that I practice is part of, it's called Bhakti Yoga. So yoga with devotion. So it's one, actually one of the four major limbs of yoga. And so it's a general, there's thousands of mantras out there and they all have a different quality or benefit. Mm-hmm. So usually you'll choose one and then the traditional practice is you practice for 40 days. So, and usually it can link to a certain deity. But the deity is really just a representation or a symbol of what the quality represents. So for example, now my practice is this mantra all about courage and standing on truth, for example. Sure. So the one that you said is more like when people have a guru, which is like a teacher, and you know, and then the teacher will give them, the guru will give them a mantra that is for that individual.
Okay.
So, and then that individual have to practice that. So that's a little bit different. Yeah. The one that I do is everybody can do, everybody can pick those mantras and can do it.
Nice. Which form of meditation do you think speaks more to the beginner, mindfulness or transcendental meditation?
So I have to be honest, I actually have never done transcendental meditation. Okay. So I don't know exactly the process of how it happens. So I cannot decide, I think, but, what I heard from our guests coming here, cause I think transcendental meditation, I'm just generalizing. I have no idea. Okay. I think it's not so common in Asia. I think mindfulness meditation is just more common. Like people understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say mindfulness if we're just to choose between the two.
How about, how do you prefer to engage your intuition in daily life, spontaneity or planning?
Oh, wow. I don't think you can plan to engage your intuition. Well, sort of. So I'll say spontaneity, yeah.
Okay. Which of these do you think offers like a better framework for understanding intuition? Eastern philosophy or Western philosophy?
Eastern philosophy. I have to say it because I'm Asian. I'm Chinese. What is Western philosophy anyway? What is that?
Oh my gosh, that is funny. I'm going to ask this question anyway, but when you're making really big life decisions, intuition or logic?
Intuition first, always.
Okay.
The logic comes after. For me, the logic is how you execute that. So it's okay. Still a collaboration. Yeah.
Good. What helps you connect deeper with your intuitive self? Meditative silence or expressive arts?
Oh, I would say meditative silence for now. Yeah.
Okay. What do you think holds the keys to understanding like meditation's impact on intuition, ancient wisdom, or modern science?
I'll say ancient wisdom.
Okay.
I think modern science is good. Like they help us understand how the brain works more and stuff, but the technique itself is actually, it's already an ancient tool. The modern science just kind of helps us to understand how it works.
I think it's interesting that science, I guess I could say science is catching up with intuition maybe, because there's so many people going like, oh, this is scientifically proven. It's like all the mystics say, like, we told you that like 1,000 years ago.
Right, exactly, or 2,000 years ago. Yeah. You guys are still not listening.
Right? It's like, okay, good. I'm glad you're catching up. Last one. Which do you believe has a stronger impact on societal change? Individual intuition or collective consciousness?
I'll say individual. Start with individual and yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, because really, if you want to see change in the world, you have to start with yourself. Always. I always say, like, you always bring it back to yourself. So if everybody takes responsibility of their own well-being, like, yeah, you know, not just physical, but mental, emotional, spiritual well-being, the world, the whole collective, anyone will change anyway. So start with the individual.
Okay. I love that. I want people to definitely be able to stay in touch with you. If I get to Thailand, I'm going to come out and see you for sure.
Yes, please.
We've got your website that we can send people to so they can learn more about you. It's Muse Flower Retreat. And for everyone that's listening instead of watching on the screen, I will spell it out for you. It's Muse, M-U-S-E, Flower Retreat. Only has one R in the middle. So it's FloweretreaT. So Flower and Retreat, share an R in the middle. So it's museflowerretreat.com. On Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, it is all at Muse Flower Retreat. Same way with flower, F-L-O-W-E-R, same R in the middle, E-T-R-E-A-T. And those, it's easy to find. Everything's the same, Muse Flower Retreat. You got to love that. I want to thank you guys for tuning into A Funny Way of Looking. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We're all over Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube at A Funny Way of Looking. And sign up for the newsletter. It's awesome. It just started. And we're going to have Tanya in the newsletter probably in, I think, a couple of weeks. So you'll be able to see her on the show, read more about her and the retreat in the newsletter, and get in touch with her. So thank you, Tanya, for showing up. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for this conversation. Thank you so much.
We will see everybody in the future. Bye, everybody.